while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today we deal with the topic of anger. We all get angry, don't we? From children to adults, toddlers, teenagers, we all get angry. And anger in and of itself is an emotion, it's a feeling. And God created us with the ability to feel, right? Right? Remember, He created us male, He created us female, He created us in His image. And that means, that tells us, through that, we understand that God also feels anger. And the Bible tells us of instances where His anger is expressed. I want to encourage you, if you have your Bible to hand, as we journey in the sermon today, I'm going to be drawing attention to a number of verses. You can either use one of the visitors' Bibles, or you can use your phone, your tablet. The version you use is down to you. And if you're at home, you're joining the service online on PHBC Radio, please go ahead and grab a Bible as well. So today I want us to consider anger. I want us to consider it as an emotion. And I want us to consider what makes God angry. What makes you angry? I want you to think about the times that you've been angry. And I really feel strongly to say this. If, as you listen to this sermon, you cannot see anything that you have ever done wrong, then the enemy has blinded you to yourself. Okay? I didn't say anything you are doing wrong. If as you listen today, you cannot see anything that you have ever done wrong, the enemy has blinded you to yourself. This sermon is not for the person sitting next to you. This sermon is for you. Okay? It's a simple principle in preaching. If you ever hear a sermon and you think the sermon is about you, then the sermon is about you. Please go ahead and change. If you ever hear a sermon and you think it's about you, yes, it's about you. Please go ahead and change. All right. So we're dealing with the question of anger. And as we do, for those who are joining us for the first time or those who haven't been in service for a while, on the first Sunday of every month, we deal it's called our Common Question Series. So the first Sunday of every month, we take a topic, a theme, a word, and we look at it. Last month was righteousness, I think, but we've also done jealousy, we've done forgiveness, we've done justice, i.e. looking at it from a societal perspective, a theological perspective, and what does it mean, what can it mean for us today? Yeah. So today we're dealing, as I said, with the question of anger. And our main text today is from the book of Ephesians. So let's get into it. According to Google, the best definition of anger is this. Because I typed in, what's the best definition of anger into Google, right? And Google said, a strong feeling of displeasure or annoyance. And often of active opposition to an insult, injury, or injustice. That's a nice definition. But anger is quite different to some of our other feelings. You know, anger is a feeling. It is a strong feeling, Google tells us. Unlike many others, anger results in outward expression. There are feelings we have that we hold in. We don't really express in the way that we express anger. So for example, some of the feelings that result in inward expression, things like nostalgia. Nostalgia is much more an inwardly expressed thing. You know, sadness, nervousness is much more inwardly held as compared to anger that's outwardly expressed. Other emotions or feelings outwardly expressed, joy outwardly expressed, excitement outwardly expressed. Yeah. And just like other feelings, anger doesn't just happen. Someone who's feeling nervous is feeling nervous because of. Someone who's feeling joy is typically feeling joy because of. Someone who's feeling excitement is excited because of. So anger doesn't just happen. There are triggers. There are things that can precipitate anger, that can cause us to cause these emotions to be stoked within us. And every one of us has our own triggers for what makes us angry. But there are some common ones, for example, situations where we feel threatened, a situation where we feel attacked, or where we feel powerless. If we feel frustrated, frustration can lead to anger. And sometimes, if we're feeling like we've been put down, we're feeling invalidated, or we're being treated unfairly, or someone else is treated unfairly, that can also lead to anger. So as I said, like most feelings, anger does not just happen. There's always a cause. There's always usually a trigger. And not just a trigger. When I thought about this and I looked about this, and most of you here know my background, there are widely accepted, widely recognized steps in anger, or phases or stages to anger. And I've grouped them into four stages. So the four stages of anger, as I've grouped them, number one is the buildup. The buildup, and I put it in green, you'll see the color coding. The buildup is where you're beginning to be triggered. Something is going on. There's this, you're looking at the situation, you're looking at the frustration, you're looking at what's causing you to be irritated. Something is happening and happening, or something has happened. The buildup position is maybe you're witnessing abuse, or you're witnessing injustice, unfairness. The second stage is what I call the fire up. This is where the spark happens. The spark is that catalyst, is that last thing. They talk about, the phrase, the last straw that... It's not about the straw. The camel's back's broken. Okay, I'll just take that straw back off. That doesn't solve it. But the spark, the fire up, is that last catalyst action. It's the trigger, the point of expression. This is the bit where the heart rate starts to go. This is the bit where the voice levels start to raise. This is where people become maybe a little bit animated, a little bit agitated. This is the fire up. The third section is the explosion, the blow up. And you can see I put that in red. For those of you who are on radio, the build up is in green. The fire up is in yellow or amber or mustard, whatever you want to call that. The blow up is in red. And this third bit is the explosion. This is the blow up. This is the expression of displeasure. This is the expression of the annoyance. This is where the emotion comes out. It's not necessarily rage. There's a difference between anger and rage. So when I talk about the blow up, I'm talking about the point of expression. Say, you know what? I'm really upset with you right now. This needs to stop. That's the expression. That's the blow up section. Because the truth of it is most people don't regularly experience rage. Yeah. And then the fourth section, I put this in white because it's neutral, is the cleanup. It's the aftermath. It's the the anticlimax, the calm after the storm. You said, I really don't like that, and it's silence, or that quarrel, that dispute has happened, and then that silence bit. It's the cleanup. It's the okay, what now? How do we get past this? Or do we just it's either how do we resolve this, or how do we separate the silence, the cleanup, the aftermath. It's the point where we've been heard or we've expressed ourselves. It's where we now survey the impact of what we've said, whether it's worked or not, whether or even if we've raged, if we've expressed anger, we survey the impact of our communication. If we've raged, we survey the impact of the destruction. Because some of us, yes, I said it because I can, some of us rage in anger, and what's left is destruction. And then we come back and the guilt that comes afterwards, I think, oh, why did I do that? I shouldn't have. Look what I did. Or some people even say, look what you made me do, which is total nonsense. Nobody makes you do anything. So you've noticed, I said, I've given each one of them a color. And the explosion, as I said, the blow-up phase happens no matter how big or small, it's where we express. I just want to clarify that. So of all the emotions that we experience, there are more warnings in the Bible about anger than any other emotion. Anger actually carries, in the entirety of Scripture, actually carries more warnings than any other emotion. I said emotion. Yes. The Bible talks about fear. And there are, we heard it said the other day, 365 God bless the people who counted, instances where the Bible says, do not fear, do not be afraid, don't be scared, etc. But those are not warnings. So the warnings There are more warnings about anger than any other emotion. Yeah. So we're not in, you know, fear, we're instructed not to fear, we're encouraged not to fear. But with anger, it's not instruction, it's a warning. Have you ever read the Bible? Here's a question. Have you ever read the Bible? Because I want to get into the text now. Have you ever read the Bible and thought, there's a contradiction here? Has anybody ever felt that there are contradictions between certain parts of the Bible? Well, you read something, you go, wow, and you hold on to that principle, and then one day you read something else, and it undermines the principle you read the other day. So, for example, the Bible teaches us that we should die daily. We should crucify the flesh. We should die daily. But the psalmist says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. So I don't understand. Do we die? Do we live? Which one is it? Yeah. As I prepared for this sermon, I started to see some of these contradictions. Ecclesiastes tells us that anger dwells in the hearts of fools, it says. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. Yet, if you look at our text for today, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, the very first section says, be angry, but do not sin. So I don't understand. Anger dwells in the heart of fools, but it's okay to be angry. Anger dwells in the heart of fools, or be angry? What are we holding to here? What's the Bible saying? Which one is it? Is anger something for fools, or can we be angry? You know, which one is it? Well, it doesn't even stop there. If you look at verse 31, verse 31 says of our text, Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander. But at the same time, did you notice? Verse 26 that I just quoted says it's okay to show anger. Same testament, same book, same chapter, same author. Is he contradicting himself? Is he confused? Well, here's the thing. As much as the English, when we translate into English, has the word, you know, both of these words written as anger, and even though they do have more or less the same linguistic root, when you drill down into, okay, what's the root of the words, they're not actually the same word. In the original Greek, the word used in verse 26 to refer to anger is a word, and, you know, biblical Greek scholars, forgive me if I don't pronounce it exactly. The word is orgizo, which is the anger of provocation. When you are provoked, it is the anger what you feel is because of what somebody else is doing, somebody else's choices. The Greek word used in verse 31 is orge, not orgizo, it's orge, which is being passionately violent. And this is the type of anger that Ecclesiastes is referring to, that resides in the hearts of fools. The anger of rage, the anger of destruction, the anger of being passionately violent. One of the things I've said, and you've heard me say this from here, saints, is please, 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 make sure you get your theology right. The word of God, we know, is a two-edged sword, right? It divides joints and marrow, soul and spirit. It is the word of God that has got to be our first benchmark in all that we do. But make sure you get your theology right. Sometimes people say, no, you shouldn't be angry. You're not allowed to be angry if you're a Christian. Like, dude, where did you read that? You know, Book of Fred. I don't know. But it's about understanding what this emotion is and how we are to express it. So when the Bible, and I want to touch on this thing, I want to touch on this phrase. You know, as I said, the Ecclesiastes talks about, you know, anger resides in the heart of fools. And that's not a word that I use when I refer to people. I've called people all sorts of things, but I do not call people fools. I don't do it. And why? Because again, I'm going there, my definition comes from Scripture. The Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So for me, the only person who I could ever call a fool is someone who says, there's no God. You know, I've seen foolish behavior, and I don't have a problem. PHBC, your family, you know me. I will call out. I will call anything out. Yeah. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And I've seen foolish behavior, which is people behaving as if there's no God. Behaving as if there's no accountability here on earth or even in heaven. Yeah. So anger resides in the heart of fools. Is the people who behave like that, who are expressing saying this violent passion or this passionate violence are behaving when they do that as if there is no God. You see how I've linked the two? I hope you understand that. Let me read what it says in verses 29 to 31 of our text today. It says, "Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You're seeing the focus here. The message says it this way. It tells us to watch the way we talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word you utter, each word you speak should be a gift. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So don't grieve God. Don't break God's heart. Don't upset him. The Holy Spirit is in you, living in you, moving in you, breathing in you, and central to your life. And don't take such an eternal gift for granted, this verse is saying. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So totally cut off, break away from all backbiting, profane, unedifying talk, unedifying conversations, gossip, and the like. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another. Forgive one another. And there's a reason Paul is warning us against this kind of anger, this destructive anger. Because we see a pattern of what anger can cause people to do. Right from the beginning of Scripture. Do you remember Cain and Abel? There were a couple of references to that today, to Abel. If you remember Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4, Cain was consumed by jealousy. He brought his offering to God. His brother brought the offering to God. And Abel's offering was more acceptable before God. Cain got jealous. He got consumed by jealousy. And in that moment where he was consumed by jealousy, this is the fire up stage. This is the amber stage. This is the point where he's like, what? Why? What? No, I brought my best. So he says. At this point, God reached out to him. In fact, yeah, let me just remind you of the four stages. Remember I talked about the fire up, the blow up, the build up, fire up, blow up, clean up. So at this point where Cain is feeling this stuff, this is the fire up stage. This is where something's about to happen. And in the middle of that fire up stage, God reached out to him. And I want to show you what happened. In Genesis 4, when God reached out to him, Genesis 4, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So God's reached out to him. God has said, sin is crouching at your door. God's effectively saying, dude, you are playing a dangerous game. Don't let these emotions get the better of you. Guess what happened next? This is Genesis 4, 6 to 7. Guess what happened next? As soon as God said this, what did Cain do? Cain says, you know what? I've heard from God. I must check myself. Yep. He called his brother to a meeting in a field and he murdered him. Tender ears. I'll use the M word, not the K word. And he murdered his brother right there after God spoke to him. Do you know people like that? Do you know anybody like that? Who you will say, this is dangerous. You should stop now. And they don't stop. Do you know anybody like that? Is that person you? Are you the one listening to me right now? What is the result of your anger? Does your anger defend or does it destroy? There are many templates laid out in the text today. There are a number of templates laid out in our text today. And the kind of anger that Ecclesiastes described, the kind that Ephesians 4:31 tells us to avoid, that passionate violence aimed at destroying someone, aimed at bringing someone down. Scripture says we should avoid it. That's not the anger we should ever have. That kind of anger is fueled by pride. It's fueled by a sense of self. And it fosters dishonor. It also fosters disobedience. It leads to sin. And we've seen this kind of anger with Cain. We saw the kind of that same anger with Moses. That's the anger that caused Moses to strike the rock twice without thinking beyond himself, beyond his emotions. He just wanted to, I'm just so upset. They're not listening. The people aren't listening to me. And it caused him to disobey God and completely miss the promised land. What a tragedy. And you've heard me say this before. How many times have we done what we just read about? How many times has God spoken to you about something you're doing wrong? How many times has God spoken to you about sin in your life? And even something you're about to do, and you still do it. You still do it. I know it's happened to me. I'm not standing here as someone, you know, who's holier than the Holy Spirit, trying to front like, you know, I am all that in a bag of chips. It's happened to me where I've had advice, where a beloved wife over there will say, well, you know, I'm not really sure. And I'll be like, no, that's okay. I've got this. No, I don't take that. I'll say, I've got this, you know, because I'm a man. When you're a man, you speak with a deep voice, right? Because if you don't speak with a deep voice, you know, nobody takes you seriously. And it's just pride. It's just ego. It's foolishness. And so if this is you, where you've heard God's word, you know to do right, and you have not heeded that word, let today be a new start for you. Let this moment be a turnaround for you. Don't be a hearer of this word only. Be a doer as well. Amen? Now, I've explained all this stuff about anger and how, you know, anger, you know, can be destructive. But anger can also be a good thing if it's used in the right way. Not the anger that destroys, but the anger that defends. Remember, when I defined anger, I used that Greek word, orgizo, which means the anger that's an anger that's provoked, you know, an anger that's stirred up because of something else. It's the kind of anger that speaks when something is wrong. It's the kind of anger we saw in that video earlier on that was talking about what Jesus did when he rolled into the temple and committed, you know, a assault and a fray and public order and criminal damage, you know. He rocked that boat. He turned that place upside down. That's the kind of anger. Now, some of you might be thinking, but aren't they the same thing? No, they're not. Not all anger is bad. There is a righteous anger, and it has a place. It's the kind of anger Nehemiah had when he saw the injustice around Jerusalem and the people, what's happening with the people. It's the kind of injustice Jesus had. It's an anger that defends, not an anger that destroys. Nehemiah, let's look at that. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, when I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. And I told them, you are charging your own people interest. So I called together a large meeting to deal with them. John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all the people all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. Ah, King James says, you turn my father's house into a den of thieves. His disciples remembers that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. These are the examples of the same anger that Paul is talking about in verse 1 of our text, where he says, be angry, but do not sin. Defend, but don't cross that line. And of course, there are times when a righteous anger moves us to action. But think about what I've explained. Righteous anger doesn't cause you to sin. Oh, some people will get upset. Absolutely. Some people, you need to come against them and they're going to go, oh, this is an injustice. Of course, they will say so. But it will not cause you to sin, either against a person or against God. Righteous anger will keep you within the boundaries of God's word, God's principles, God's tenets. And the key to righteous anger, as I said, is that it doesn't move us to sin. It's when our anger causes us to sin that it becomes bad. It causes us to destroy. So saints, we all get angry, but the Christian response must be different. Our response to anger, to that emotion must be different to people who have never met Jesus. It just must be. Our responses to things, the Christian response, must always reflect the kind of thing that Christ would do. Otherwise, it's not a Christian response. I'm sorry, I'm just going to go there. You see that matter you were silent over? If Jesus would not be silent over it, your response was not a Christian one, saints. That thing you spoke into, if Jesus wouldn't have said those things, your response was not a Christian one, saints. That comment, that thing you entertained, if you did it and Jesus wouldn't have done it, it wasn't a Christian one. The truth is that if Christ wouldn't respond that way, it's not Christian. So what we do, what we say when we're angry is either a reflection of Jesus or a deflection from Jesus. What you're doing is either bringing all, most, some to focus on Jesus, or it is pointing them away from him. It either leads people to a place of safety in God or it takes their focus away from God. And sometimes when we're angry, it's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there is such an anger that is a prompt of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, too often, we might start prompted by the Holy Spirit, but we end up with our flesh taking over. We end up with our will taking over, our feelings taking over, focusing on what the flesh is crying out for, rather than focusing on the voice of the Holy Spirit. In the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, we read, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Human anger can never produce the righteousness of God. Unfortunately, the truth of it is when we open the door to that violent, passionate anger, that self-focused anger, the enemy comes in and he takes control. He takes a seat. And before you know it, destruction. Earlier on, I mentioned anger as part of a number of emotions that I call the gateway emotions. And our emotions... And I call them gateway emotions because they're emotions that can lead us to do things. They can lead to consequences. Anger is a gateway emotion. Unfortunately, because of anger, jobs have been lost. Because of anger, people have been arrested. Marriages have ended. Destinies have been destroyed. Because of anger, churches and ministries have closed down. Sadly, because of anger, lives have been lost. Anger can steal our joy. It is a stealer of peace. It is a stealer of our peace. It is a stealer of our peace. And if anger is not brought under subjection, very quickly it gives way to bitterness. It gives way to resentment and the destruction that follows on from there. Saints of God, I want to encourage you today. If you find that you've been consumed by anger or controlled by anger, or you find that things, you think about something that happened and it still feels the way it felt when it happened, please talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. Come and talk to me. Speak to a member of leadership. I want to commend Sumi as well. She's a great listener. You know she's a qualified psychotherapist as well. You know that. Speak to someone. She might not take you through sessions, but you can talk to her. If the emotion is as powerful as it was, you're still angry. And the worst lie a person can believe is which one? A lie they tell themselves. Please. At the same time, I want to encourage you to follow what we've just read in James 1, 19 and 20. I want to encourage you to listen and listen and listen. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Be slow to becoming angry. Because human anger cannot produce the righteousness that God desires. Please don't push your family away because of anger. Don't lose your marriage or your joy or your relationships because of anger. So many people have said things in anger. They've burned bridges. Bridges that have been built over years and years and years. And in one moment, they've shut the door in such a way that makes it so hard to reopen. Things that are said in anger can never be taken back. And you know this. Oh, I take it back? Oh, please. Please. And the vast majority of the time, pride is the companion to that behavior. So I don't know who you are listening to me right now, but if you have these issues, as I said, please seek counseling. Talk to someone. Don't struggle on your own. And those of you joining the service online or listening as part of the playback, the same applies to you. Talk to someone. If you're not sure who to get in touch with, start here. Start at PHBC and we'll signpost you. For those of you who have only ever displayed righteous anger, you say, you know what? I've never displayed human anger. Well, I want to say well done. You're an example to the rest of us. And as you continue in your example, go and check yourself. Because you're an example to the rest of us that we need to check ourselves on a regular basis. And saints of God, please remember Ephesians 4:26. It tells us to be angry, but do not sin. Feel the emotion. And even do something about the emotion, but don't cross the line with God. Feel free to express your anger. Not the anger that destroys, but the anger that defends. And as you do so, continue to fight for justice so that you will see God's kingdom come and God's will done in Pollard's Hill as well as in heaven.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.